Welcome to Rhema for Today.
So to get the clear picture of it, you should realize then that God, the Holy Ghost, just revealed to us what He wanted us to know, and enough to get us headed the right direction. Praise the Lord. So then, as you notice these individual cases of healing, you'll find that they were not all healed by the same method. They were all healed by the same power, that is God, but they were not all healed by the same method. Or, let's say it another way, they were not all healed in the same way.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, Healing, How to Receive It and How to Keep It, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
I want us to turn in our Bibles again today to some scripture that we've been looking at over a period of time in these services. And of course, the crowd turns over, and you know, ever so often, so many days. So we'll try to catch up with the ground we've covered. But we'll open first to the 9th chapter of Matthew and read there concerning the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. 9th chapter of Matthew in the 35th verse says, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Now notice what He did. Teaching in their synagogues, number one. Number two, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And number three, healing every sickness, or actually it literally says in the Greek, every manner of sickness and every manner of disease among the people. Now the ministry of Jesus consisted of three things: teaching, preaching, and healing, in that order. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Now remember this, that in the 14th chapter of John's gospel, in the 12th verse, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now you see, if we're not careful, we get off on tangent. We get to think, well, the only thing he did was heal people. And that's not all he did. Did you ever stop to think about when you're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, you're doing the works of Jesus? Did you ever stop to think about when you're teaching, you're doing the works of Jesus? See, that was only one third of what he did. Did you notice that? See, he went throughout their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every manner of sickness and every manner of disease among the people, you see. So he said, The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. Now, it's interesting to notice the works of healing that he did. Now, you understand he did some works in some other areas, but because this is a healing class, well, then we just simply focus in on those. Of course, he worked miracles. You know, he turned the little boy's lunch, fed 5,000 people with them, didn't he? And then they turned around and gathered up 12 basketfuls. Praise the Lord. That was quite a miracle, wasn't it? And he stilled the sea. The storm was on. He said, Peace be still. There's a great calm. Somebody said, Nowadays, no matter what's happening, if you want a great calm, all you got to do is just mention tithes or giving and people's children. And there'll always be a great calm. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. But because this is a healing meeting or healing class, then we are focusing in on that. But we don't want to leave that impression at all, that that's all Jesus did, because that's not all that he did. Now, it's very interesting to notice the individual cases of healing, and we've done that in, you know, last year we were teaching along that line, last summer actually, taking up one by one the individuals that were healed under the ministry of Jesus. You understand that the Bible talks about a multitude on several different occasions being healed. But it doesn't say how they were healed or what happened, just mentions that they were healed. But when we take up the individual cases, and you'll find that there are 19 of such cases mentioned. Now, you know, you think that there are more because you read through the four Gospels, why three of the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, may For instance, the woman with the issue of blood, all three of them mention her. John doesn't. So it's listed three times, but it's just one individual. Now, the nobleman's son that was healed under the ministry of Jesus, John, it mentions it, and it's just mentioned one time in the Gospel of John, in the fourth chapter of John. And there's one or two more healings that only John mentioned. The other three writers never did even mention them. Of course, you understand this, and I'm sure of this, that they were more individuals that were healed than just these 19 that are mentioned. Because John himself said, if everything was written that should be written, about Jesus and what he said and his ministry and so on, that I don't suppose the world itself could contain the books. But you understand that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. So to get the clear picture of it, you should realize then that God, the Holy Ghost, just revealed to us what he wanted us to know. And enough to get us headed in the right direction. Praise the Lord. So then, as you notice these individual cases of healing, you'll find that they were not all healed by the same method. They were all healed by the same power, that is God, but they were not all healed by the same method. Or, let's say it another way, they were not all healed in the same way. So then we do not, if we're going to follow the example of Jesus, then we don't want to just be boxed in to ministering one way to people. The Spirit of God may lead us different. You can see that in the Old Testament, in the lives of the prophets. We make mention very often about Elisha telling Naaman to go dip in the River Jordan. Seven times, not just once, not just dip in the River Jordan, but it had to be seven times. What if he'd just dipped six times? Would he have been healed? No. Yet, Elisha had no precedent for that. You know, he had no, far as we know, that never happened before. But you know something about it. There's sort of an unpredictableness about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Are you listening? Now, under the ministry of Jesus, we pointed out that on more than one occasion, we'll notice two particularly, because here are two blind men in contrast now. In the eighth chapter of Mark's Gospel, when he was come to Bethsaida, they bring a blind man to him, and they besought him to put his hand on him or touch him. Well, now it seems that most of the people were healed by laying on of hands in those days, just like they are now. See, they besought Jesus to touch him. Well, he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And then the scripture said that he spit and touched his eyes. That is, evidently spit on his hands or his fingers and touched the fellow's eyes and asked him if he saw aught. And he said, I see men as trees walking. Then the scripture said, I don't know that he spit anymore on his hand, but the scripture did say that he put his hands on him again, had him look up, and he saw every man clearly. Well, now, as far as I can ascertain from the scripture, Jesus didn't have any precedent for spitting on his hands or fingers and touching the fellow's eyes. But it worked, you know, you can't argue with success, can you? How come him to do that? Well, evidently the Spirit of God inspired him to do it. Then in the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, or ninth chapter of John's Gospel, we read about Jesus spitting on the ground and making clay of the spittle and rubbed it on the blind man's eyes. Now, the other blind man was healed on the spot, evidently, the second time Jesus laid hands on him. But here now, it's a little different yet. Jesus rubbed this clay, you know, that he had made out of the dirt and the spit, and rubbed it on his eyes and said, go wash it off in the pool of Siloam and thou shalt come again seeing. Well, now what if the man hadn't done that? Would he have been healed? What if he had gone anywhere else and washed it off? Said, well, it's closer home. I'll just go by there and wash my eyes. Now, you see, sometimes in receiving healing, God calls on us for an act of obedience. Are you listening? And so, you just can't nail the thing down, so to speak, to any one method or any one way and say it has to be done like this. Sometimes, you see, that's the very thing, really, that's hindering people from getting healed is being obedient. And by God calling on us to do something, it gets us to obeying Him. I remember I was preaching in March of 1950 in the First Assembly of God Church in Kilgore, Texas. Now, you got to remember, that's before the Lord appeared to me in that vision. See, later on in the year of 1950, because this is March. This is the first part of September, and the Lord appeared to me. But I still had the same spirit. He just manifested himself in a different way. So I was laying hands on the sick, and here came this man, and I asked him what's wrong with him. And, well, first of all, I asked him if he's a Christian. He said, oh, yes, he's saved. He's a member of this church right there where I was preaching, First Assembly of God. And so I said, well, you understand this. You could be a member of this church or any other church. It wouldn't make you a Christian. Now you've been born again. Yes, he'd been born again. Praise God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Spoke with other tongues. Pastor was standing right there beside me. Said, yeah, he's a member here. Well, I said, what's the matter with you? Well, he said, I have ulcers of the stomach. I haven't worked for 2 years. Actually, he said, the doctor showed me an x-ray of his stomach. And he said, there's something that looked like as big as a wasp nest. The doctor pointed out and said, now that's this ulcer. In fact, it's afraid to run into cancerous growth. Well, he didn't want to submit to an operation. He can't go back to work for the oil company until they, give him a clean bill of health. So for 2 years, he's off the job.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Lynette Hagin's single CD titled, What Should We Be Focusing On? Next is Pastor Kenneth Hagin's book entitled, How to Live Worry-Free. We're also offering the CD from Craig Hagin called Healing Belongs to You. Last but not least is Denise Hagin Burns' CD entitled Generational Unity in a Divided World. All these items are for the special price of only $25. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org, rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Winter Bible Seminar, and of course, it's also Rhema Homecoming 2026. Yeah. That is February the 15th through the 20th. That's a Sunday through Friday.
Yes.
Free registration. We have, of course, it begins on Sunday at 6 p.m. And then Monday through Friday, we have services at 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, and 7 p.m.
Yeah. Right here on the campus.
That's right.
Just go to rhema.org/WBS, and you can find out all the information about that.
That's right.
Call 1-888-FAITH-99. That's toll-free, 1-888-FAITH-99. Tomorrow, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue his series, Healing, How to Receive It and How to Keep It. That's tomorrow on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.